Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy T.P. Thomas back at the helm. We got the grill all set. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. Y'all already know we are fully focused, man. Everybody out there in Maryland, a.k.a. the city of Baltimore, my prayers and thoughts are with everybody. People that are out there rioting, even the police, because I even got family that's in that police department. So I already know everybody deserves it, man. Everybody get home safe as they possibly can. But I understand, lives matter. It's just not one color, it's all of us. But I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen, timeless is alive. Welcome to the cookout, people.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. When the sun goes down, I'll make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold for what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me. But I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in this world. But you're here with the chefs, man. Let me get into this as best as we possibly can, because we're going to be all across the board, going from NHL, MLB, NBA, boxing, of course. We got Mayweather, Pacquiao, and people that did tune in and check us out on Sunday night at the Food Fight Epic Show. Me and Nacho went at it, man. If you didn't check it out, please go check it out, because that's an awesome show. I'm getting a lot of reviews from people that check us out on a day-to-day basis. They want us to keep it coming. So thank you for everybody that has been supporting us on a night-by-night basis. However you've been coming to get your dishes through Sports City, please continue to do so. Now, there with a Sports City, because we got one of our chefs on the move right now. Hopefully people will start funneling into the kitchen as they best know how to. We're calling in by way of the interstate of 95 right now, the New Yorker himself making his way back up to the tri-state area, but he's coming to my neck of the woods, people. That's right. Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
What's up, Ty, man? I just, you know what? If you're not in a rush to go home, don't drive in the fast lane on 95. Get all the way over to the right, and you can do 30 miles an hour. You can tell the people who don't want to go home. They go 30 miles an hour on 95. What's wrong with these people?
Look. That's me. look. That's me, like Chandler is right now. At 5:15 p.m., people, that is me on I-95. Like, why is there traffic? Why are people literally going 50 in the fast lane? I don't get it myself. I don't get it myself. If they're having, family issues or whatever, I don't know. I don't even want to bring that into the kitchen. But I understand your pain. I'm bearing with you. I feel for you, brother. Now, let's get into this cookout as best as possible. Hopefully the people that call in give us some stuff to talk about. I got a lot of interesting topics to jump into. First and foremost, we were talking about this in the green room, but I'm going to get to it first and foremost because I started the show off talking about the city of Baltimore. Now, I didn't want to give this to you in the green room, but I wanted to hear it raw so we could throw this on the grill and cook this up as best as possible. The Orioles general manager has come out and made a statement and basically is supportive of the people but does not want to see the violence because this violence is spiraling in to people attending the Camden Yards and coming to see the Baltimore Orioles play. Now the Baltimore Orioles have come out with a statement and saying they will play games without a crowd, without fans coming to the Camden Yards to watch them play. They are willing to play games with empty seats. Really. So I wanted to see how you feel about this one, Chandler, with everything that's going on in Baltimore. The Orioles are ready to play games without their fans behind them.
Well, you know what? On one hand, good for them. Because there are some people who are not going to be able to leave the house because of what's going on. And sports, for a lot of us, when things are bad, is a refuge. When your life is screwed up and everything is wrong, sometimes that couple of hours that you can watch a game, sometimes it can save your life. You know, sports is that powerful for some of us in our lives. So, you know what, good. And good that they're not trying to profit, and, you know, because they could just move the games to the other team's stadium right now, and then they'll get the gate, and then they'll flip it when they're supposed to get the other team. He ain't really worried about the money. Angelos has more than enough money. And you know what, good. You're not asking the fans to jeopardize themselves by coming to your game. They're still going to get money from the TV thing. So you know what? Good for them. And if they can provide some sort of respite for some of the people from everything that's going on, then you know what? Then it's a positive.
Okay. And looking at the situation, especially for the Orioles, especially them being in the middle of Baltimore, especially with all the heightened emergency and how they won't have security to back the situation, the police have their hands full. I mean, literally are retreating from the crowds and crowds of people trying to go back at them. I don't know if it's safe for either team to go out there and play baseball anyway, whether it's the Orioles or the team that they're going up against at the end of the day, because they have to leave that stadium at the end of the day anyway. And who's to say they don't start pelting the bus or pelting these multi-thousand-dollar cars? If they're sitting on $100,000 cars, it'll be even worse. Everything is in a disarray out there in Maryland right now. So I don't know if it's safe for even the teams. That's why I throw that out there. But I do understand that they have to have games be played. They have to stay in contention for to stay atop the AL, even if they can stay in that situation. It's very tough right now for them. There's a plethora of ways I can go with this with the Orioles, but it's just tough that I literally thought that it was just in the downtown area, which that is where the M&T Financial Stadium is. That's where the Ravens play football, as well as the Camden Yards, is also in the downtown area of Baltimore. So I thought that's where it was neutrally at. It's all over the entire city of Baltimore. They are an outrage in that entire city of Baltimore. I've just seen more footage and pictures of what's going on out there. It is an outrage out there. So I don't know if it is safe for them, even if it was just one team versus the other team. I don't know if it's safe for them to actually try to get to the field and try to play a quick game for 2.5-3 hours and then try to make it back to their respective homes or hotels at the end of the day.
Well, you know that they'll have their own security. They'll transport all the guys. They're not going to let these guys drive. They'll transport them all. Trust me, they'll be the safest people in the doggone city of Baltimore, be them ball players, okay? They'll be the safest people in the city of Baltimore. But I understand what you're saying, too. But you have to try to keep some semblance of normalcy if you're running a business. It's just tough, man. And like you said, you know, it's a tough situation. I understand the outrage. I'm not saying I'm condoning the violence, but I understand it. So, you know what? It's no matter – the only way Angelos honestly would have come across wrong in this was if he was – if he had said something negative. But what the general manager said, and by the way, that was in response to one of their employees, the radio color guy's comments on Twitter. And the piece that he wrote, if anybody hasn't read it, you need to read it. It's on Deadspin. It is extremely thoughtful. It's very well thought out, and it's very well said. You know, where he is basically saying that you can't keep taking from people and make those, the underserved and the poor and all of those, and that's every color, not just black, but every color, the underserved, can't keep taking away people's financial abilities. You can't keep taking away jobs and taking away the ability for them to have homes and taking away everything else, their civil rights, and not expect at some point for that group of people to say enough. And which is what is happening. Granted, yeah, everybody wants to, well, Martin Luther King would have done it. You know what? Not everybody subscribes to the nonviolent way of protest, okay? Not everybody subscribes to that. So, like I said, I'm not condoning what they're doing because a lot of the damage they're doing is to their own neighborhoods. I get that. But obviously it's spread out to all of Baltimore now. But I understand it. And for what the general manager wrote and said was extremely eloquent and very and it was well put.
And also in the wake of this situation, you also have Ray Lewis has come out with a statement. If you haven't seen it, you could tell his emotion was involved in how he's trying to be heavily influential. But at the end of it, he's like, test him if you think he's not being sincere about it. Ray, I know you're crazy. I know a lot of people wouldn't want to message you one-on-one, but if the masses of the people in Baltimore are making the police retreat, Ray, I think you need to think twice, at least about your new TV show that's on TV and you being on ESPN. I know you'll probably get about 3 or 4 of those dudes, but there's about 10,000 of them out there, and I don't think you want to go out there and start a war with these guys. But Ray Lewis came up with a very influential speech. If you haven't seen it, I have it posted. I can repost it so people can see it. But I definitely understand where Ray is coming from, saying that people that basically, you know, were pillars of the city, helped build the city up, just for you guys to go out there and burn it all down, it's just a gutless type of feeling. So I understand where he's coming from, but it's only so much that he can do. Hopefully the people of Baltimore understand where he's coming from and listen to where he's coming from. Now, anything that you'd like to address before we get away from the Baltimore situation?
No.
Okay. Now it's time for me to wake you up. It's time for me to put some of the big-time stuff on the grill because we talked about this in the green room, and I told you to save it because I wanted this raw in the kitchen so we could cook this up as best as possible. First and foremost, Deion Jordan, the defensive end of the Miami Dolphins, suspended.
Pass me or not.
For the entire 2015 season. Now, he is losing, listen to these numbers, people, $3.335 million plus in his signing bonus. His signing bonus is $3.335 million, and he's supposed to be missing $2.275 million plus of what he's supposed to gain in this upcoming season. And it wasn't the situation that he actually used drugs this season. One of his previous tests that he had taken was diluted, basically a watered-down test that he tried to give the people or the NFL to give as a test, basically showing that he might have came up dirty. Now, Chandler, your thoughts on the situation. Now, I know you're probably clapping round of applause because this is one of the New York Jets' rivals within the AFC East, but coming at it from an analytical situation as well as a fan situation, your thoughts on Deion Jordan missing the entire 2015-2016 upcoming season?
Well, I'm never happy when somebody does something stupid, and that's exactly what this was. And for those people who are going to try to defend it, nobody who has clean urine tries to beat the test. I'm just saying, okay? Nobody who has clean urine tries to beat the test. So whether he can, and what I learned in the service was real simple. A bad sample, no sample is the same as a positive sample. Period, end of story. All right? Now, Deion Jordan, you big dummy. Seriously. You big dummy. I mean, what else can you say, man? And here is where, and see, this is my problem with all of these people, media people, who keep trying to say, oh, it's just weed, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal because guys are losing money. They're losing opportunities at their livelihood, and they're losing money that they're going to need later on in life because most of these guys aren't going to play till they're 40. They're not going to play till they're 35. They'll play till maybe they're 27, 28. So that's hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, that this idiot just cost himself. probably because of weed. The same weed that everybody keeps saying, oh, it's no big deal. It's just some pot. It's just some pot. Your employer says you can't smoke. Period. Your employer says you can't smoke. I don't want to hear it's legal in Colorado. Okay? There's a lot of stuff that's legal in a lot of places. Okay? Let me come up positive with something in my urine. I will never work in my field again. Okay? Whether it's legal in Colorado, Alaska, the moon, it doesn't matter. My employer says I can't do it. The employer, the NFL, says, Deion Jordan, you can't do that. It's not that difficult. Actually, it is that difficult, apparently. But everybody wants to keep minimizing. The NFL has made the threshold higher so less guys will come up positive. All that means they're going to smoke more. If you say, okay, well, now we're going to take and push the line further out, guess what? They'll just smoke more. Deion Jordan, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. And I want to hear all the people who are screaming about Johnny Manziel going to rehab, I want to hear all of them say the exact same things about Deion Jordan. Oh, that's right. But no one says that about him, about all these guys getting suspended. It's just this one kid in Cleveland who ain't even played a full season. Unbelievable.
Now, interesting enough, and this is something that I was thinking about too. I was thinking about him and Dominican Sue and Cameron Wake all being together to have one of the more dominant defensive fronts this upcoming season and moving on into the future. Now they have to do it with Wake and Sue and wait till Jordan could actually get this reduced or be back in the 2016-2017 season. Talk about jumping the gun. But I know this is something that the Dolphins and their defense was ready to challenge at least the Patriots and all of the teams that actually made a step up and are trying to retool their teams. And this is before the draft. Now, here goes an interesting situation that I want to throw in there. He's going to miss $5 million plus, you know, $5.5 million actually. Where do you think they go outside of this? Do they trade Deion because this is a repeat offense situation or he's a repeat offender? Even though this wasn't him getting in trouble again, this is actually an old test that they called him on. Or do you think they actually stay put and stick to their guns and wait for him to get back out there in a year or so?
Well, they can't trade him because nobody's going to take him. No, they're going to cut him. They're going to cut him, and they're not going to have to pay him a dime. And any other years in that contract are now gone. Because here's the fact. He's already shown that he is not going to be able to keep from getting suspended. He's already shown that. Because the next one, I believe, is a lifetime ban. Okay? So you already knew you were facing a year suspension, and you couldn't stop smoking. So we already know that you're going to keep smoking, which means you're going to get suspended again. Nobody's going to touch him. And you say, oh, you want to go, some team will give him a shot. Nobody's going to pay a guy that they're going to lose permanently. Okay? Because some of that money they won't be able to get back. All right? No one's going to pay that. So Deion Jordan, in many ways, has effectively reduced his earning power to basically nothing because after the Dolphins cut him, if somebody does give him a contract when he finally comes back, it's going to be on a make-good contract for the veterans minimum. Okay? With all kinds of clauses attached. So he's cost himself millions of dollars. And at the end of the day, guess what? You can always get a pass rusher. There's a whole bunch of them in the draft. So they may not need you when you get back. But I think the Dolphins are going to cut them.
Wow. Okay. So let's stay right within the division. And this is a team that you also know so well. Sports City, I got to wake this guy up even more. And Chandler's up, people. But your Jets get fined $100,000 for tampering with Darrell Revis. Now, I understand that, one, this won't hurt the organization one bit. Two, I mean, how long has this been going on? Was this a situation that they were tampering with him for a long time, short duration, short term? But your thoughts on everything that's swirling around this situation of Revis being tampered with by the team that he's back with for his second stint with the New York Jets?
All I know is they better find the damn Patriots, too. I don't care about Woody Johnson being fined money. Woody Johnson's a billionaire. That's pocket change. Long as we don't lose no draft picks, I don't care. I'm glad we tampered with him because we got him back.
Well, that was easier said than done. Okay, so me getting away from that topic, staying right with the drug situation, and this is bad that I'm actually kind of pointing fingers at guys because nobody's perfect, but the rookie, well, he's not even a rookie yet, the defensive end out of Missouri, Shane Ray, gets spotted with marijuana also. Knowing how high his name was up in the draft, does his draft stock drop tremendously, or do you think teams will still take a risk on him, similar to what some of the players went through in drafts past?
Doggone it. I'm sorry, somebody just cut me off and all my food just went on the floor. He had a joint. He was cited for possession of a joint. He wasn't handcuffed. He didn't get a DUI, any of that stuff. All right? He was cited for possession of marijuana. Again, I'm not going to say big deal because I think it is a big deal, again, that these young men don't seem to grasp the concept that they're costing themselves money. Okay? Now, with that being said, all of these GMs that are now floating this stuff out there about him falling in the draft and all of that, that is nonsense. Okay? That is nonsense. They are doing that as a smokescreen to try to hurt his draft stock so that they, hopefully he'll be there for them when they're ready to draft. And that part of it is what bothers me. Because they do this stuff to these young men where they leak the stuff about failed tests in college or their Wonderlic tests or whatever so that they can lower their draft stock so they have a shot at drafting them, but they're costing these kids money. Shane Ray got cited for a joint. I get that, okay? Who's to say it was his? He ain't failed no test. You know what I'm saying? He didn't come up positive. You know they tested him at the combine. So, okay, he got caught with a joint. That was stupid on his part. But all the rest of this noise, this sound and fury, which signifies nothing that's going on, it's just that. It's nonsense, man. It's total nonsense. And it's the thing I hate most about the NFL, because all you're going to start hearing now that's real close to the draft is a whole bunch of negative stuff about some of these kids just so some GM can hurt his draft stock so maybe that kid will be there when he's drafting.
What teams do you think need his services, him being a young bull out of Missouri? Just think of some teams that could actually turn him around with this early questionability looking at him and could make him into a decent NFL player.
Every team could use him. He's that good. He's that good. And by the way, the other part of it that bothers me for him personally is his father has spent most of his life in and out of jail because of drugs. If anybody should know enough to stay away from drugs, it's Shane Ray. Okay? He grew up without a father because of drugs. So, in that aspect, I'm extremely disappointed that he's that stupid because he saw what it did to his father. But as far as what team could use him, every single team could use him. This kid is a legitimate first top 10 pick, man. He is that good. He is that good. So, I can't think of a team that can't use him, honestly.
Okay, now it's time to get into the thick of things because this is something that we talked about before we got to the green room. And I want to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, but not even the Cleveland Cavaliers. I want to talk about people in general. Now, I'm going to save the best for last because I know Taylor cannot wait to put him on the grill and burn him to pieces. And Chandler, you already know who I'm talking about, so I'm going to go to the other guy. I want to know your thoughts about Kevin Love, this dislocated shoulder, and him being out for the full second-round series. Do you think this can hurt the Cavs, or do you think they can fly by night on this situation? No pun intended towards your last name, but do you think they can still survive the storm without their power forward?
I'll answer the second question first. Only if they play Milwaukee. Only if they play Milwaukee. If they play Chicago, it's a wrap. And I'm not saying that, and you know I don't really give him a whole lot of credit for anything, but he is an integral part of what they're doing now. So if they play Chicago without him, they're not going to win. They're not. As far as he's concerned, I think this once again proves the fact that he's not going to stay in Cleveland. Because, remember, he's going to be a free agent. And rather than rush himself back to help that team, he's going to get himself healthy so he can get that max contract in the offseason, okay, and he's not still rehabbing, which means somebody might offer him less money. Because the fact of the matter is, he doesn't have to be out for the entire second round. Because the second round goes like almost 2 weeks, okay? He could probably come back for a game seven if he really wanted to. Or sooner, because I remember Chris Webber. Remember that used to happen to Chris Webber all the time? He would dislocate his shoulder, and he would be out like two games, and he'd be right back in there. Okay? It's just a matter of dealing with the discomfort. Okay? Especially if you had it happen before. So I think that right there shows you just how not invested in that team he is. Because he ain't willing to risk his future earnings for them. You understand what I'm saying? He's like, let me see. Come back early or make sure I'm healthy for my free agency. Oh, free agency.
Right. And by the way, Kelly Olynyk, the guy that actually did the mixed martial arts move, I'm just joking. It's not a mixed martial arts move. They look like it. But he's suspended for a game in the upcoming season next year because Boston is now eliminated. So he will miss the first game of the 2015-2016 season, this upcoming NBA season. So that's interesting in itself that the Celtics are on the rise and trying to, you know, build around a guy like Olynyk, because he is one of the notable youngsters on this team that they have to build around. And he hurt himself, I guess, trying to fight for the ball, but he clearly had no way to get to the ball, though. So that was interesting in itself. Now, let's go to the backcourt, if you will, for this Cleveland Cavaliers team. I'm going to say one name, Chandler, and I'll let you take it from there. J.R. Smith. Now, I'm going to let you take it from there. I'm not even going to spice this up any further because we talked about this, and I wanted you to save it for the kitchen. Chandler, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
All right. About 2 months ago, Royce and Slim Jim decided they wanted to argue with me and tell me that J.R. Smith had changed. He had matured because he was with LeBron. And I said, talk to me when the playoffs start, when J.R. Smith is missing every shot he takes and he does something stupid to hurt his team. And they said, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the new J.R. Smith. He's new. This is the new approved J.R. Smith. He on the team, and he could do the double-double-double and double-double and double-double, and he all mature and grown up and everything. How's that looking now? How's that new, mature J.R. Smith looking, people? It's the same guy who ruined the Knicks playoffs. The same way, getting himself suspended, doing something stupid and selfish because he was struggling with his shot, because he couldn't make a shot. So, and because it's the playoffs and he suddenly can't hit a shot, he's going to do something to get himself kicked out of a game. That's exactly what he did. Same thing he did with the Knicks. J.R. Smith hasn't changed. J.R. Smith is never going to change. He's 27, 28 years old. He is who he is. He is a very good regular season player who, when you start counting on him, will let you down. Who, when you start counting on him, will do something to hurt the team when the team needs him the most. Okay, now they're already without Kevin Love, so now he's out the first two games. And again, if they're playing Chicago, you and not for nothing, he's already not shooting well. Now you're going to miss games and come back and have to rediscover your shot. This is typical J.R. Smith, man. It's typical J.R. Smith. This is what he does. This is what he does. He gets you to think that he's changed. 1 mile. And he hasn't changed. He's the same guy he always was. A selfish, me-first guy.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue calling in by way of the state of Georgia. We have Pat in the building. Pat, welcome to check out how he's feeling this evening.
I'm good. What's up, Ty?
Not too much, man. Just trying to throw this cookout around with this guy on his way up to I-95 North, as you can hear the GPS lady talking to us. How you feeling?
Yeah, can you and Chandler do me a favor real quick?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to sweep up this mess the Pelicans left. Can y'all pick up your feet?
Really? That's what you're going about?
But anyway, I agree with Chandler on the J.R. Smith thing. He's a train wreck.
Now, did you see what he did on the floor?
Yeah, I watched that game. I watched it.
Okay.
I watched the whole game.
Okay.
So, I mean, the scuttlebutt is two games, but I agree with Kenny Smith, five games.
Because he blatantly balled his fist up and literally, like, I don't even want to call it a backhand, even though that is like a backhand, but he, like, that's almost like a neutral punch. I don't even know what type of punch he was calling. He clearly caught Crowder straight on the kisser, and it dropped Crowder. Crowder ended up not only getting hit in the face, but he injured his leg and had to get carried off the floor. J.R. Smith with a two-game suspension. I don't even know if this really hurts the Cavs. Well, it depends on who comes out the next round. I'm really hoping the Bulls do so they can make it an interesting series. But just like Chandler said, Damian, me and Chandler actually talked about this outside of the kitchen. J.R. Smith did this 2 years ago up against the Boston Celtics to Jason Terry and elbowed him purposely in the face to knock Jason Terry to the floor. This is his second occurrence. Now, obviously, I know that the NBA is trying to save face for him so they can have a competitive series. But wouldn't you think the NBA would further investigate into this situation, that this is his second occurrence against a team that has literally been a thorn in his side since he's gotten to the Eastern Conference and played in the postseason?
Well, here's the thing. You know how Kevin, the kid Love, what's his name?
Yeah, Love.
Kevin Love. He was saying that what happened to him was a Bush League play. That was more Bush League than what happened to Kevin Love. Way more. Because when you look at it, basically him and the guy that he hit, they pretty much stand the same size. So by him getting pushed in the back, he knew where the guy was. So it wasn't a matter of him shooting the elbow either to the chest or to the rib to back him up, in which he would have just got a foul for that one. Okay? Once he raised his hand and did that little 180, he knew exactly where that dude was. And he knew where he was going to hit him, because you notice that when he turned around, he knew the dude was on the ground. Because he actually turned around and then kind of stood over the dude and then looked at the ref and then threw his hands up. That's that classic football move where you know you got the pass interference and then you look at the ref like, oh, I didn't do anything. And you know they're going to throw the flag because they saw you. So that was real Bush League to me in that regard, because he knew exactly where the defender was and he hit him dead on target. And then couple that with the fact that the brother fell and then sprained his MCL in the process. And did you read his lips when they were helping him off the court?
What did he say?
Oh, he called him, you know, he told him. He was like, you know, you're a so-and-so. He called him. Basically, what he did was he called him a pussy.
Okay.
And you have to, if you go back and look at it, he turns his head towards the Cleveland bench, and he's looking at JR, and he goes, you know, you a pussy. That was a pussy move. And then they went ahead and helped him off, which it was, because when the dude fell down, I thought he was just, you know, reeling from the pain of the hit in his face. And then you saw him grab the back of his thigh, and then you saw him grab his knee. And that's when you knew, you know, and then when we saw the replay, his leg got caught as he was falling. And I just think that, you know, Cleveland's going to have problems because if they play the Bucks or Chicago, they're much easier to defend without Kevin Love because he brings the power forward out and he clears the middle for them. So that gives LeBron and the point guard, what's his name, Evans?
Kyrie Irving,
right. That gives them the ability to penetrate, kick, do whatever they're going to do. Now they can load the paint and just force them to shoot jump shots. It doesn't even matter who they're playing. And that doesn't mean that they're going to lose. It just makes them easier to defend. Now, JR being the first guy off the bench, that weakens your bench. And we've seen what happened with the Clippers, only being able to go 6, now 7 deep with the emergence of Doc Rivers' son, having that great game that he had the other night. Because that's the Clippers' Achilles heel. Now it's like, okay, you got a guy who's, and he's a good player. But like Chandler says, he can't keep his composure in those pressure moments. When you need him the most is when he just seems to crack for whatever reason. So it's definitely going to hurt them, Cleveland, that is, because it limits their options in terms of what they're going to do. Now, whatever guys that they're going to bring off the bench, they're going to have to make up for his presence coming off the bench. They're going to have to make up for Kevin Love being out. So you're going to have a third person that's able to bring out that forward so that LeBron and Irving have room to work. And that's going to be difficult. That's just how I see it.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on what you heard about the situation and moving forward from it. I mean, do you think the NBA will further investigate in this and see him as being a repeat offender of basically having physical altercations on the floor?
Ty, I can't get you, and I'm going to have to get off, man, because the GPS is going crazy. It's got me driving in the circles.
Turn left on I Street, southeast. Okay, I got you. Okay, so this is how I feel about the situation. I think the NBA will probably further investigate in this and hopefully come up with something in the future, hopefully outside of the postseason. This will be very tough if they do something on top of what they've already initially come down on toward J.R. Smith. But again, you would think J.R. Smith's attitude and mojo would change, especially stemming from him coming from New York with the Knicks, coming to alongside LeBron James, where they're actually in contention for an NBA championship. This could be a very interesting situation if this could end up costing them at least the first two games out of the gate because they have the home court advantage. And Chicago is able to steal one or two games playing up against Cleveland. All eyes. And that's right, I'm saying it, Tupac. I'm sorry, rest your soul. All eyes on J.R. July 395 North. Okay, another interesting topic that I wanted to throw out there, I wanted to say for Chandler, I had hockey on the brain, man. I'm going to have to fish and see how I can work with it. Who do you like tonight? I'm going to start with the first game with you right now, Pat. Dallas goes into Houston on the brink of elimination, win or go home. Do you think the Mavericks win this game, or does Houston send them packing to go fishing and why?
I think that's a wrap. Are they in Houston tonight?
It's in Houston.
Yeah. I like Houston to win that.
Now, interesting enough, looking at it from that comparison, do you think this could be the end of Dirk's postseason run with him being in the NBA for as long as he has been?
Most definitely. Yeah, because that team, especially with Rondo melting down, it's going to take – not a long time, but, you know, they're looking at a couple of years to get back. Because, you look at the teams that are emerging in the West, Golden State and Houston, you know, and those are young teams. Dallas is an old team. You got whiskey. You got what's the brother, the light skinned brother with the beard?
Tyson Chandler.
You got Tyson Chandler. Those are two big pieces that are in the latter parts of their careers. So how much further, you know, how much further can they go? Because, you know, the NBA season is a marathon. I mean, and Dirk can keep playing, but when you look at what they have to replace there, I just don't see a lot of young parts that are coming to the forefront that can keep it at the level it's at right now. Can they make the playoffs next year? Probably. But that's going to be as far as it goes. And then you got to throw Oklahoma City back in the mix, assuming that Durant comes back healthy. You know, and these are those three teams, Oklahoma City, Houston, Golden State. Those are young teams. Those are real young teams. So I can't, you know, he might stay for another year, but he'll just be there just out of a desire to keep playing. I don't see them making a move at all.
Okay, let me spice this up even further. How do you feel about Carlisle and his job? Now, one, he's been seeing early exits in the past couple of seasons since they won a championship in 2011. But with him and his latest previous staff, with him and Rajon Rondo, do you think the GMs and the front office actually still trust him to stroll along that sideline and still make calls for the Dallas Maverick team?
I think they should. I think it'd be a terrible move to get rid of him. He's done a great job. Because they, prior to him, they weren't even getting to where they are now. So that would be, I mean, unless they just want to retool everything, which means they're going to be in the tank for a couple of years. Because, you know, you got, who's the guy in Oklahoma City that just got fired?
Scott Brooks.
Yeah, so what? I mean, logic would say if you're going to fire Carlisle, you got to bring in Scott Brooks. That would only make sense. Or Mark Jackson.
And that, those two names would be a quick fix for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, interesting that you bring up the situation about Scott Brooks. Now, this is just all hearsay. I highly doubt it. You know I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder guy, but I highly doubt it. They say the Thunder are trying to pursue, I don't know if they'll fully go through with it or if this is just bullcrap or what, because I highly think that this is total bullcrap. They're trying to pursue Coach K. Now, interesting enough, Coach K has a lifetime contract with the Duke Blue Devils. Now, do you think he would break it to come, not only to come to the NBA, but coach two guys that he's coached to a gold medal in Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant? He has had both of these guys under his wing, and they were successful in doing so, bringing gold back to the U.S. in 2012. Do you think he would do that to help the Thunder team that's already suited to get to at least a Western Conference final or better?
Let me put it to you this way, Tyrone. When John Wooden won 10 NCAA championships in 12 years, did he even entertain the idea of coaching pro basketball?
Not at all.
Case closed. There is no way, there is no way Mike Krzyzewski leaves Duke for another job, period. No way. Never happened.
It was all hearsay thrown from a credible site, too, the crazy part about it. So I was wondering, I didn't want them to go after some mediocre name. Going after Coach K, it puts an interesting spin on things, but we'll have
not
to
really
see. But like
that,
I said, like I
waste.
Said, I think it's...
Time.
I think it's.
That's a waste. How long has he been coaching Duke? 20 years?
No, it's more than that. I think it's 30 plus. He's been coaching
longer than that. He's been there for 30 years? and he's going to go coach in the NBA when guys can get you fired in five games?
Yeah, Coach Brown got that. You're correct. That
he's
is true. But I don't think they would have a short hair trigger for Coach K. But like I said, I thought this was total bull crap anyway. So I just wanted to throw that one out there, see how you felt. We do have Chandler back on.
If he was gonna coach in the pros, that would have happened a good 15-20 years ago. There is no, he's got the best job in college basketball. It don't get no better. It doesn't. His job is better than Kentucky. It's better than, I mean, when you're talking about coaching jobs, the only other coach that has his status, in my opinion, in terms of success and longevity, is Boeheim. And you see what he going through now.
Yeah. They basically chasing him out the door.
They trying to push him out. They trying to push him over a cliff.
Right.
And he's been in Syracuse almost as long as Krzyzewski's been in Duke.
He's been there longer. Boeheim's been in Syracuse for 37 years.
37 years.
Head coach.
He's been the head coach for 37 years, Tyrone?
37 years.
Wow. See? I mean, those guys, they know the game. And they know the pro game. They know the college game. And that's the smart move. Just like you'll never see Pitino. I don't think you'll ever see Pitino go back to the pros. He learned his lesson when he went to Boston. It's a whole different animal when you're doing that pro game. Yeah. Those guys are making more money than you, and you know they can bury you with their quickness, and it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are, they can run you out the league. So yeah, Krzyzewski goes nowhere. He retires, you know, at Mount Rushmore with, you know, Wooden. That's his legacy. He's not changing that.
Okay, we do have Chandler back in queue. Chandler, is everything okay on the I-95?
I'm not even on 95. I'm lost in D.C. Trying to get back to 95 because the GPS near around the Capitol drops out. So it just starts sending you in circles. I actually had to pull up to the Capitol or to the barricade to figure out how the heck to get out of the city. Of course, like 17 cops came out. That was fun.
No, please, not right now down there, man. There's too much drama in D.C. and Baltimore. Please, get on.
I'm trying to get the hell out of here. But the thing with Krzyzewski, I think, is wishful thinking, unless, of course, that something's getting ready to happen at Duke, like what's going on in Syracuse. And Krzyzewski's gonna beat feet before it happens. Other than that, there's no way Mike Krzyzewski will ever coach in the NBA. He already coaches NBA players when he does the Olympic team.
Right.
You know? And he gets the best of the best, and he doesn't have to worry about their egos and whatnot, because they have to subjugate their egos so that they don't look bad. So he's got the best of everything. He coaches NBA players for the Olympics. So he gets that glory. He coaches great college players at a place where, literally, when he's dead, okay, there's still, you know, the fourth guy after him will still have to answer questions about him, okay? Kind of like UCLA. No matter where the coach is, how many years has John Wooden been out of UCLA? And every UCLA coach has to answer questions about John Wooden. Well, what would Wooden do? What do you think about John Wooden? What do you think Wooden would think of this? That's going to be the way it is at Duke forever. So, nah, he's not going to the NBA. Like I said, unless something's about to happen at Duke, because, you know, they're under investigation too now. So unless something like that is about to come out, I don't see him leaving Duke.
It'll be interesting. I highly doubt it too. But they have to put an interesting coach that could win now. They can't have somebody that's got to learn with these guys because one of them, well, Kevin Durant's first. So either KD or Westbrook will end up leaving. So they got to get this figured out. But it was just to hear that name in the hat made it very much interesting. We do have another notable chef in the building calling in by way of the state of Arizona. We have Nacho here at the Cookout. Nacho, welcome to the Cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, you know, waking up at 4 a.m., going to work, getting off at 4:30, hopping on the Cookout. That's my life.
What's going on? I mean, you missed a bundle of it, but jump right up in here, and whatever you like to throw out there from what you've heard, let us know what's on your mind.
You know, I did only catch the Coach K talk, and I'm presuming that his name is being tossed around the OKC job. I believe that if I can get the gist of what you guys were talking about towards the end there, my opinion on that would have to be the same as the rest of everyone else's. I think he's going to be that guy, like a Lombardi with the Packers, like a Wooden with UCLA, you know, like Walsh with the Niners, you know, just things like that. Teams have coaches that you just, as soon as you talk about that team, you associate that team with them. And Duke's the same with Coach K. So I just think he stays there until he decides to hang it up. I don't think, and I don't even think there's any, you know, my assumption and my presumption is probably the same as everyone else's. You know, until he decides to leave is when he'll leave, especially after just providing a national championship. So, you know, and he always talks about how when when they ask him about coaching in the NBA, he always, and I think Chandler brought this up, talks about the USA team. And he always says that, you know, he gets that opportunity every year or every 4 years. He gets that opportunity to coach them. So I think he gets his, you know, fulfillment for coaching the elite guys when he does that. And I think that's even more fun for him because he gets a team full of elite, just like he does at Duke almost. He gets a team full of elite players and that get to do, you know, whatever he wants. And I think that's what he gets his fulfillment when you talk about him coaching in the pros. So like everyone else, I got to add to the sentiment. I think he stays right where he is. I don't think he goes anywhere. It would be nice to see him maybe try to take that leap. I don't know for sure how he would – like Chandler said, I believe – he already coaches those guys that are in the NBA already at Duke. So, you know, it just depends on how he really feels, but I don't think he wants to go anywhere, of course, after, you know, hoisting a title. But, yeah, I see him being Duke's head coach until probably the day he passes away.
Okay, so Nigel, let me throw this topic at you since you just got here and got your little dish already at the Cookout. I know we have talked about this guy's name a ton throughout the football season, and I got to say Pat Fulas. I got to say him for last because they actually are in their respected same division. But Peyton Manning comes out and addresses a situation that says he does not look to the 2015 season as his final season. Really. Now, interesting enough, we've all seen the ways that Peyton's arm strength, I should say, has declined. We can all admit that. Unless somebody feels like they feel different, if Peyton feels like that he could come here and talk about it, come to the Cookout, let's talk about it. But do you think there's two or three, and I'm pushing it for three, do you think there's two or three seasons left in Peyton Manning? Now, I know he has one of the best minds at the quarterback position, can call a defense out in his sleep at the end of the day, but it has to turn out to postseason wins because he could win all of the game that he wants to do in the regular season. This is actually my only gripe about Peyton Manning, that he is a regular season stat stuffer. Until the postseason comes, that's where the questions come into play. Your thoughts on Peyton Manning saying that this is not his final go-round?
Well, you know, two or three seasons, no, I don't believe there's two or three seasons left in Peyton Manning. I really do believe that he's got 17 games left. He's going to play 16 regular season games. He's going to lose a postseason game, and then he'll retire. I believe that's what will happen to the Denver Broncos this year, and I believe that's Peyton Manning's end-all, be-all. He's going to go out just the way he does his whole career, losing a playoff game. You mentioned it. The arm strength isn't there. Some wanted to blame that on the injury towards the end of last year. Do that all you want. He's going to be healthy, and he's still going to throw the same way this year. So we're going to see him break a record, I think, around week 9, do the Peyton thing, break a regular season record, probably going to win 12 games, maybe 13, you know, somewhere around there. They're going to win the West, and they're going to get bounced in the divisional round. That's Clayton. I'm sorry. That's Peyton. That's what he does. That's what, you know, it's in, the proof is in the pudding. You know, it's what it is. You can talk crap all you want. You can get mad at the facts, but that's the fact. The guy is one of the greatest, and I hate to use this, regular season quarterbacks, but when the postseason shows up, you know, he doesn't, you know, similar to a Dodgers pitcher. So it's just, I don't really understand him coming out and saying 2 years or even saying this isn't his last year in perspective to his game, because he's got to know this is his last year. But I think that's more or less the NFL mind, him thinking that he's smarter than everyone else and thinking that he can just go out there and get it done with his wit and his prowess in that box, in that quarterback box, which he's not going to be able to do when you can't throw the ball. It's just how it is. So, like I said, he'll break a record again. I think it's week 9 if he keeps to his regular stats. He'll break some record week 9 or something like that, lose in the divisional round, and then subsequently after the Super Bowl, we'll hear Peyton Manning say he's done and he's retiring. That's how I feel it'll go down, and I don't see any more than 17 games left in the man.
Okay, Taylor, how about you? Your thoughts on Peyton making a statement saying that this is not the end for him? And how many years do you think he has left in the tank? And is there anything that you want to address from what Nacho threw out there as well?
He can play 3 more years. Of course he could. If Rich Gannon can play till he's 4, Peyton Manning can play as long as he wants. Here's the thing. And Peyton Manning is not going to retire. He's going to play his last season as a Denver Bronco. Don't mistake that. But he ain't played his last season. This is not going to be his last season. Somebody will bring, if he wants to play, there's 10 teams in this league that will sign up for him as their quarterback right now, including the New York Jets. Okay? 10 teams right now would give him a 2-year contract right now. Because you're going to win regular season games. You're going to make the playoffs. Okay. That's all most of these owners want. They don't really care if they win a Super Bowl, the majority of them. They want to win regular season games, and they want a home playoff game so they can get that money. And is he good enough to play at an elite level? No, but will he be a good starting quarterback for 2 more years? Yeah. Will he be the Peyton Manning that he's been? No. Will he still be better than a whole lot of these guys? Yeah. Hell, I can name 10 quarterbacks he's better than right now. Start with Andy Dalton, Mark Sanchez, Nick Foles, Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, E.J. Manuel.
Matt
Come
Ryan.
On, man. Matt Ryan. Yeah, I'm being honest here. Peyton Manning right now, there's 10 teams will sign up to give him a 2-year deal right now. Right now, knowing that he has no arm strength, knowing all of that. And the fact of the matter is, will he be at an elite level for 2 more years? No. But will he still be able to be a winning quarterback? Absolutely. He absolutely can. It won't be in Denver, though. Trust me on that. It ain't going to be in Denver because John Elway had already told him, dude, this your last season. I don't care where you go, you ain't going to stay here. Peyton Manning is going to go out like Brett Favre. Okay, wearing 3 or 4 or 5 different uniforms, and finally is going to get to the point where they're basically going to lock the doors to keep him from coming on to getting into the stadium. That's what's going to happen with Peyton Manning. He's one of those guys who refuses to go quietly into that good night. He's not doing it.
Okay, Pat, this is a division rival of yours. Your thoughts on Peyton, do you agree with the panel? Do you think he has more left in the tank? Now, Peyton just turned 39 last month in March. Next year come around this time, he will be the age of 40. Do you think he has two or more seasons left in that body, or do you think he's playing hocus pocus with everybody, and by the end of the season, whether he makes it to a Super Bowl or not, that this could be the end of his career?
This actually should be his last year, even though he's not saying it, because I know he's a competitor. He doesn't want to announce it ahead of time, like a farewell thing. But he shouldn't play pass this year, because if he does, he's going to get hurt. And I would hate to see the guy go out like that. I mean, he's going to have majority of the passing records, and the ones that he doesn't have are going to be owned by Brett Favre, which is he'll never have the consecutive games played, but in terms of longevity, he's done it. He's got his Super Bowl. He's got a plethora of records. So I agree with what they're saying in the event that he decides he wants to keep playing. Somebody's going to get him, and somebody's going to let him do it. But I hope that he understands that he's not even in the twilight of his career. He's at the end. This year is it. If it don't happen this year, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I don't want to see Peyton Manning go out with the career that he's had and the longevity that he's had. I don't want to see the guy, I don't want his memory to be, you know, him being helped off the field or carried off the field, and that's the last time he plays. I would much rather see him walk off the field, wave to the crowd, even if he hasn't announced it officially, and then just after the year is over, just say, okay, I'm done. It's a wrap. Go into the Hall of Fame, ride off into the sunset. He never has to work another day in his life. He can do what he wants. Go do it. I don't want to see him play past this year. I really don't, because I think he's pressing his luck. I really do. I really, really think he's pressing his luck, because teams are loading up on these awesome pass rushers. That's the new fad in the NFL, is just having guys whose specialty is getting to the quarterback. That's their specialty. And you got more and more guys coming out, like in this draft. You got this draft is loaded with edge rushers. That's all they got to do. They ain't even got to stop the run. Just get to that guy standing there who got the ball. That's all we want you to do. And when you get there with bad intention. And I just don't want to see that happen to him. We've all played this game. We know what it is. And at some point, it's going to happen. So I just want to see him walk away.
Well, that's the risk he runs playing this sport. That is for sure. The calling number is 917-889-9592. Very interesting day. Taylor, I had a situation set up for you. It was kind of a 2-1 situation with the Capitals actually outdueling the New York Islanders now. And this is interesting because I got a couple of people that I work with that are diehard Islander fans, and they wanted to see the Rangers and Islanders go at it. And the papers up here are not giving them any breaks, saying that the Islanders slipped up on a major battle within the city. Now, one, your thoughts on the Islanders, and two, your thoughts on Ovechkin moving forward again in his postseason career.
Well, I think the Islanders had a great season, and I think it's great. I hate the Islanders, but you can't have a rivalry with the team if the other team isn't good. There's no rivalry. The Islanders have a great, great young nucleus. They are going to be good for a very long time. You had the majority of their team had never even been in the playoffs, much less a game seven. Okay? So they, yes, towards the end of the season, they tailed off. It's a young team that didn't know how to finish. They learned some lessons. These are the things you have to go through as a young team, a young organization. This is what you have to go through. I would have loved to have seen an Islanders-Rangers playoff series, because that thing is a war. It is a war, okay? Nassau Veterans Coliseum is a dump. It should be demolished. But when that place is rocking with Rangers and Islander fans and it hitting each other all over the ice, that is one of the greatest places to watch any sporting event anywhere in this universe, okay? So for anybody that wants to criticize them, and I'm a Ranger fan, okay, but don't criticize. They're a young team. What did you expect them to do, okay? What did you expect? This is their first real sustained success in any season in almost 15 years. 15 years. Most of these guys weren't even in the NHL the last time the Islanders were halfway decent. They stumbled. Okay. Lesson learned for them. Got some experience. The Capitals, I have no faith in them. They're a goon squad at this point. The guy Tom Wilson should be suspended for what he did to Lubomir Vyshnovsky. For that hit, he should have been suspended for the rest of the playoffs. I am ashamed that Barry Trotz is allowing this kid to go out there and do the things he's doing, because that's not who Barry Trotz is as a coach. But the Rangers are going to beat the Capitals in 5 games, and Ovechkin, unfairly, in my opinion, is still going to be labeled as some sort of playoff bust when he's not. But he is on a team full of underachievers. The same defensemen that everybody's talking about, Green and all these guys, these are the same guys who are either always hurt or don't show up in the playoffs. The reason they beat the Islanders was because they were playing an inexperienced team. That's why they won. Now they're going up against a team that has beaten them 3 times this season and will beat them in 5 games.
Okay, and I know my other two brothers aren't probably big in hockey. I mean, I can try it. Let me know if you are. I can keep moving, Pat or Nacho, if you want to speak on the Islanders or the Capitals.
You know, I'm not a big fan of hockey or any of them, but anything to get under Chandler's skin, Capitals winning 6.
Hey, I'm a Ranger fan too. Watch it.
Oh, then
that is the only similarity me and this guy have. Okay, that is the only similarity. Well, we both like to eat, and we're both dark skin, so that's the third similarity we have. Okay, so watch it. So watch it, Peyton Kershaw. Okay, just watch it.
I did have some tie I wanted to bring up to you guys. I don't know if you got any time or not.
No, we got a ton of time. This is what the cookout is about. I need y'all to cook. Come on.
You know, I don't know if you touched on this or not, and let me know if I'm wrong or out of line, but can you tell me why Randy Gregory, Shane Ray, now granted they have been, you know, found to have pissed dirty, and now they're expected to be second, third rounders, late first rounders. But Jameis Winston has a sexual assault allegation, and his draft hasn't moved a single bit. Now, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, but there's something fishy about this to me. I don't understand it. I don't get it. How two guys, I don't know how you guys feel about the substance, but, you know, to me it's not a very, you know, you got a couple of states making it recreational. You're more than 15 states making it medicinal. So I just want to know, why does weed, marijuana, take a bigger or more precedence over sexual assault cases, it seems to me?
Okay, I was going to get Pat involved, but I'll let you go first. Go ahead, Chandler.
Weed is not unimportant, and that's a pro. And that's attitude that you have, Nacho, the same attitude these guys have, and that's the wrong attitude to have. Their employer says they can't do it. I don't care what state made it legal. Your employer says you can't get high, period. Your employer says you can't get high. You got a family. If your job tells you stop smoking weed or we're going to fire you, what are you going to do? You're going to stop smoking weed because you got to feed your family. I don't care who made it legal or medicinal or whatever. Your employer, okay, the person that helps you feed your family and keep a roof over your head, says you can't. And the fact that everybody is minimizing it is a problem, because for a lot of these young men, it is a gateway to other drugs. Marijuana is a gateway to other drugs. So yeah, it is a big deal. On Shane Ray didn't pop positive. He got cited for possession. Randy Gregory, yeah, he failed the piss test, but Shane Ray got cited for possession. But the point is, because of this attitude now that, oh, it's just weed, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Because your
Chandler,
job says you can't.
Chandler, I'm agreeing with you, and I'm not saying that it's not important. My question is if these GMs and these things are taking so much importance on marijuana, and I'm not saying they shouldn't, why aren't sexual assault charges or allegations taken as seriously? Why is Jameis Winston, I'm not using him as a specific, but he's the only one right now. Why is draft stock not dropped a single bit, but these two guys get in trouble and they're now slated to lose millions upon millions of dollars? That's my question. I'm not saying weed is less important or not important. And, you know, when you have a job that tells you not to do it, you don't do it. I understand that. I'm not giving them a pass. I am, you know, on the other half that you call not so smart, I guess, and that I see it taking a turn for not being as serious. But I'm just asking, how come someone who has a sexual assault allegation gets to pretty much stay in spot while these two other guys, and whether or not it's as important or not, you know, they're in trouble, and not even with the law, just with their employer, and they're getting their draft stock bumped down a lot. Is it just because they're linebackers and not a quarterback?
No, it's because the culture in this country could give two craps about violence against women, if you really want to get honest about it, okay? You got guys like Jim Brown, who has 30 years of violence against women, and he's being touted as a mentor for young men. How in the hell are you going to mentor young men when you spent your life beating women? Okay? You have guys like that. You got this moron, Stephen A. Smith, running around talking about only women should be upset that Floyd Mayweather beats women. Because the culture in this country and the way, unfortunately, we are teaching our young men is to devalue women. Oh, you beat up a woman? No big deal. You raped a woman? It was a youthful mistake. Don't worry about it. That's why. And yes, part of it is because he's a quarterback, but the larger reason is because we devalue our women. And if you abuse a woman, it's no big deal. Just don't get high.
Okay, Pat, your thoughts on the question that Nacho throws out there? Do you agree how Chandler throws this around? Or do you have a spin or twist to it too?
I agree with Chandler in what he's saying, and just to add to it, in sports, you're going to hear about drugs, whether they be prescription, steroids, illegal drugs. You're always going to hear about that more often than you are the domestic violence issue, because it's easier to detect. Domestic violence doesn't come into play until the victim comes forward. And all too often, that doesn't happen. Or when it does happen, it's always after the fact. With drugs, it's completely different in that regard, because that's perceived as a pariah to sports. Now, if we use baseball as an example, the whole steroids thing, you know, you have the government involved in that. Okay, you had players attending Senate hearing committees behind drugs. That's not going to happen with domestic violence. Because, number one, it doesn't pop up often enough, and the individuals who are victims of it don't come forward often enough to where it is even perceived as this prevailing ailment that is indicative of every facet of life as we know it. Whereas drugs are always on the radar, always, always. So going back to what Nacha was saying, well, why is Jameis Winston's, you know, digressions not as important, or at least not being held as important as these other guys who are getting caught with weed or coke or whatever it is? And it's because of the integrity of sports. Just like sports doesn't like to be associated with gambling, even though we all know that sports is linked at the hip with gambling. However, if you're an athlete and you're caught in a gambling ring or gambling circle or gambling discussion, that's the equivalent of the death penalty in sports.
Yeah, sure.
Shall we reference Pete Rose? Okay.
They're slowly trying to bring Pete Rose back. So I am feeling positive about that.
My point is that the things that sports is most closely linked to are the things that they try to create the illusion that they're distancing themselves from. Now this domestic violence issue is starting to rear its head, which means that things are going to change in that regard. It may not be happening at the speed that people would like it to be. However, the more that it happens, it's going to start gaining momentum, and it's going to get to the point of gambling number one, drugs number two, now you got domestic violence is number three. So you got a tier working here. If you get caught gambling, and it don't matter the sport, I reference Pete Rose. Let's not forget Michael Jordan. That's the story nobody likes to talk about. That's why he had to take a leave of absence from the NBA. Even though he wasn't gambling on basketball, he was gambling. It was well known. It was publicized. And he was implicated. And because he was the face of the league, they were like, look, dude, we need you to take a break. Get out of here. You want to play? Man, go play some baseball. Even though we know you ain't even baseball material. Hell, but you're marketable, so we'll just throw you in that because your name alone is going to sell tickets. People are just going to want to come see you in a baseball uniform and swing a bat. Simple as that. Now, once you leave that gambling, then it's drugs. No matter what it is. No matter. Because, you know, a lot of guys get caught. They're taking stuff for medical reasons where there's something in it that's part of the banned substances. It's not even performance enhancing. And that's how it is. Now, with the proliferation of the domestic violence, it's going to work its way into that top tier of those two. So it's going to be the third one. And if it keeps going, it's going to bump its way up. So to Nacho's question, there's going to come a time where, yeah, that domestic violence is going to be a death nail down the line. It's going to wind you right up there with drugs. It's going to wind you right up there with gambling. So it's coming. It's coming.
I hope so.
You know, when I posed the question, because I feel like the GMs and the presidents, and this is my personal opinion of the whole matter, I feel that they don't feel that a sexual assault person who has been accused or has done it is going to be a repeat offender, as where with drugs, you're going to be addicted. You're automatically addicted, and you're going to do it again. So they're looking for more towards, you know, these guys, Shane Ray and Randy Gregory, might be suspended, but they're thinking of it in that terms, but they don't think that Jameis Winston might not have another episode, might not be out making a dumb mistake as a young guy because, you know, he's grown so much in the past year and a half. He's such an adult now, you know, that he's not going to do it again or not. Doesn't have that tendency. My thing is, you do something like that, you're going to do it again. Now, you may get better at hiding it, but you're going to do it again. So that's my thing, and it even goes with drugs as well. I'm on the same thing. They're probably going to get caught again, and I don't disagree with their draft stock dropping. My question and my thing and what's making me irritated is that this other man who's been accused of by far more heinous crime and, you know, only through lack of a little bit of evidence that they, you know, let everything go, which took over a year to finally get it all done with. So just that fact alone, that they're not even holding any weight to that it's okay, he's not going to do it again, it was a dumb mistake, like Chandler said, he was young and dumb, just really makes me mad, because these guys, these other kids who smoked weed aren't young and dumb. They didn't make a young and dumb mistake. They're habitual users, and they're going to do it again automatically, and that just makes me a little upset, and that's why I just wanted to bring it up.
All right, here's my caveat to it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'll just make it quick. Here's my caveat to it. I don't think Shane Ray or Gregory are going to drop out of the first round. They'll go lower, but I don't think they're going to drop out of the first round.
You know, my questioning wasn't more towards, and it is kind of where he will land, but it's more or less since the incidents, they're, you know, in the media, and even to some degree, some, you know, people from some of the teams are saying that these guys are dropping draft stock. That's what I mean. You know, why are they just automatically out of nowhere? They are, like we keep saying, did they suddenly forget how to play the game of football? Did they suddenly lose 50 pounds? Did they shrink 6 inches? What in the hell did happen that you, from then to now, oh, because they smoked weed once, now they're automatically just draft stock? Well, this guy over here, he's got an assault allegation, a sexual assault allegation, but he's fine. And like Chandler said, maybe it's just the way of the world right now and the way of America, and it's pissing me off, and I can't stand it. And just, you know, we talk about the things that they're trying to do to make it, you know, worse for these guys, but we hear out of Greg Hardy's situation that it might be reduced to 4 games, and that BS in and of itself is just pissing me off even more. So it's just the fact that these teams and Goodell is really much just saying, in my opinion, that, you know, sexual assault cases, we're just trying to bring it to the forefront so we can just, you know, brush it under the rug. But if like Pat said, if you do any kind of drug, no matter what, you're going to be in trouble, and you're a habitual user, and you're going to keep doing it no matter what. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And part of it, Nacho, is with these GMs, they're doing it to hurt these guys' draft stock so that hopefully that guy will be there when they draft. Just like when they leak the results of guys' Wonderlic tests, and they talk about guys failing stuff in college, which is information, by the way, that's federally protected, that is leaked out into the media by these NFL teams, okay? They're breaking federal laws when they do this, and no one seems to care, just so they can knock a guy's draft stock down, so hopefully he's there when they draft. That is also part of why they do it. You know, as long as it's not a quarterback, they'll do it. And that's part of why they're doing this. Randy Gregory probably may not go to a third round, even if he's the first round talent, because they're going to keep talking him down. And, you know, half of the GMs that have jobs, we could do a better job than them, and we all know that, okay? So some GM is not going to draft him, or some owner who was worried about bad publicity will say, no, you can't draft him, like Randy Moss. You know, or Warren Sapp, or Warren Moon, because of marijuana, okay? And then someone else will get them and be successful, but they'll get them pennies on the dollar. This is business, man, and they will destroy these kids to save a nickel.
And you hit it on the head, Chandler, as long as you're not a quarterback.
That's right. If you're a quarterback, you can do anything you want.
And that's exactly where I was going to take it, but I didn't know if it would have gotten to a heightened flame. I really thought the importance of the quarterback position, knowing that they say this is the most important position on the football field, is the reason why names like Jameis won't drop, comparable to you can get a dime a dozen of defensive ends, a dime a dozen linebackers. They still could just pick through the litter and see what ends up working out. They'll take their chances. You know, everybody's going to be motivated to get out there and make a play or be a playmaker for a respected team at the end of the day. Doesn't mean like they want to take their shots on legit players that have a littered past, i.e., you know, I hate to go this route, but a guy that was a Detroit Lion, and they didn't know anything about his problems until he got there, and that was Titus Young. I don't know if you guys remember him, but once he got there, he was, you know, being fed all types of money. They actually made him one of the better playmakers. And then once the offseason came, he was trying to break into a car lot to get his car. He got pulled over, you know, several times. He got arrested, and it was like, whoa, like, what do we do now? And he came to camp, and then he started trying to run his own routes. And then Detroit was like, get him out of here. Like, this is a problem. So you have to think about players that they've seen previously come through the NFL and have their differences with respected organizations and how they don't want to touch them because of the previous allegations that these guys have gone through in previous years past. All right.
You're right.
We did run down our time. We are at the tail end of the show. Do you guys have anything else that you guys would like to throw out there before we start to close the lid on the cookout?
I did want to say that, you know, just real quick before we close out, I was wrong. The Bulls did not close out the series like I have anticipated. Even though they're up 3-2 still, I think they can close it out. I just, you know, these Bucks, they won't go away. They're a little better than I thought. I got to give Chandler a little credit. I don't think they're winning the series, obviously. I'm not jumping off ship or anything crazy. But, you know, I didn't expect them to come so hard these last couple games. And, you know, Derrick Rose needs to step it up and prove to everyone that he's healthy still and that he can do what he's been doing the first couple games.
I truly think the Bulls are going through the motions. I think they're trying to win this lightly, and the Bucks are going to shock the crap out of them and send this to 7 games. That's how I feel about it. But stay tuned, people. We'll have more basketball to talk about Thursday here in the kitchen with the Crossover Cafe. That's if I don't have to make a dish for Mr. Knight, because he is coming to Connecticut to come visit your boy. He has some business up here to take care of, but he will be meeting up with me. So I don't know if I got to cook or not for real. But Sports City, stay tuned. Let me get these guys out of here single call as best as I possibly can. PC, thank you for stopping down at the cookout. I definitely needed you while this guy was getting harassed by WDC police. I'm glad that he's back on the road again. But, PC, give me a plug, close out, anything you'd like to promote before we shut down the door here at the cookout. Pat, are you still there? Okay, we might have lost Pat. Okay, Nacho, give me a plug, close out, anything you'd like to promote before we get out of the kitchen.
You know, at Nacho in the Box on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for letting me get on, giving my dishes to y'all, my dish to y'all, and thanks for Chandler bringing everything I expected you to bring on that question. Really, you hit it out the park. Thank you. The food fight, I think we discussed Saturday. I believe it was, I can't remember the time. I think it was 11 a.m. West Pacific time, so it'd be 2 p.m.
It'll be 11 for you, but we'll discuss it. Me and this guy have to get together, put our heads together, because we had an epic show Sunday. You sit tight, Sports City. We will keep your eyes on every little Sports City nick and cranny that we have, but continue to close out. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, just, you know, just again, keep a lookout for the food fight. We on there talking about, you know, the sweet science. It's going to be amazing. Especially this Saturday is going to be off the chain. So I'm definitely excited about that. This weekend, though, Thursday is amazing. We got the draft. Friday, I'm a movie guy. The new Avengers comes out. Saturday, the fight. I'm going to have an amazing weekend. I hope everyone else has an amazing weekend. I work most of the week, so if I can't get on, that's probably why I'm going to try to make Thursday's show for the crossover. I got to get my basketball fulfillment from Chandler and the guys. So thank you guys so much for letting me get on, and you guys have a great rest of the night and a great rest of the week.
You already know you'll be back here. This wrestling week ain't over for you. You will be back in the kitchen cooking, so you stay put. Go see them anywhere.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Knight, give me a plug, close out, and get your tail up to Connecticut as soon as possible, safely.
Thank you.
I know. Thank you for short means tie. I need a plug and close out, Mr. Knight, before we shut down the kitchen on the cookout.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm going through tolls and whatnot. A lot of fun. Thank everybody for coming. Nacho, thanks for coming, man. And good God, I need to get where I'm going, man, because this is just crazy.
See, Sports City, that's what happens when they get to Connecticut. They start to panic, go through pandemonium. I've been living here all my life. Well, I spent some years in college in Providence, so I did some Rhode Island time. That's for sure. I had to go up there and get a higher education. But all of my life I've been up here, so they know how crazy it is in Connecticut, man. I'm driving chilling crazy just to get here. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chef. I got the day off tomorrow, but I'll be back here Thursday with the Crossover Cafe. Y'all already know how this is going down. Hopefully within the next couple of hours, I'll be chilling with my big brother for the first time ever, Nostradamus and Timeless together. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What a thought, I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing, connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, just to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
They got me staring at the world through my rear view. Go ahead, baby, scream to God. He can help you with your problems. Thug brothers ride when we come through. They can relate to chef music, help them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Fort City. That's all I got. I'm gone.